Coming up on today's program, we find out how even some old ideas are jumping aboard the internet superhighway.
Hey, Kansas City, let's build a streetcar. Are you on board?
I'm on board.
I'm Jabalani LaFall, and on today's Central Standard, a look at crowdfunding, a way civic projects such as the streetcar are creating monetary opportunities in the virtual landscape for the physical world. We'll talk about ways crowdfunding can transform the way people invest in municipal projects as the CEO of Neighborly stops by. That plus a look at other civic and arts projects in the area benefiting from crowdfunding efforts. That's ahead on Central Standard after this hour's news. Good morning, Kansas City. Crowdfunding for the arts is an idea less than 20 years old. A rock band or artist takes to the internet to fund a project. Crowdfunding for civic projects, however, is an idea that's actually a few thousand years old. It's called taxes for civic improvements. But that could change. This is Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Today's show is all about crowdfunding. In the second half, we'll be joined by KCUR arts reporter Laura Spencer to talk about how artists and entrepreneurs are funding their projects online. But first, we're joined by a man who believes crowdfunding for municipal and civic projects is the wave of the future. And joining us now is Jace Wilson, founder of Neighborly, a new crowdfunding initiative founded right here in KC, whose first ambitious project among many is the KC Streetcar Initiative. Welcome to the show, Jace Wilson.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Neighborly, why you named it that, and why you started it.
Thanks for the opportunity to explain it. We're a startup that just came about in Kansas City in the last few months, and it's a civic crowdfunding platform. Its purpose is to let people and companies and institutions invest in the places and the civic projects they care about. And it's a tool that helps cities collect down payments for larger scale civic projects.
Your background is in civic planning and websites and small apps for civic projects. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's right. I studied cities for around a decade, starting with a degree in urban planning from right down the street at UMKC. During that time, I started a company called Luminopolis, and we started to build websites for developers and small towns and so forth. And then I went on to get a master's degree also in city planning from MIT. And the whole time, a common theme has always been this a statement that we've heard that goes something like, if only we had the money to do X, Y, Z. And so Neighborly is kind of a response to that lament. So
you have quite an extensive experience and quite an impressive pedigree with civic funding and civic procurement projects and things of that nature. Is that the common theme? Is that the common thread, the lack of funds?
It seems to definitely be an ingredient that you find in a lot of initiatives. What you'll find are communities of bright and ambitious people that have every intention of getting something done and that they want the best for their community. And then in the end, it just comes down to the dollars and cents.
Now, in founding Neighborly, did you draw inspiration from similar operations as Neighborly, such as Space Hive, which did projects in the UK and other parts of the world?
Yes.
What did you look at as far as Space Hive and all of the other players that were out there?
The quick story of how the idea came about, at least for coming to me, is I certainly didn't invent the idea. In February, I was talking at a conference put on by Rob Goodspeed at MIT on using technology in city planning matters. And he did a presentation on civic crowdfunding. And this, he was doing some early analysis of what was going on in other parts of the world. And there was a group called Space Hive. And they were, at the time, you know, helping to fund a community center. And they ended
It was in Wales, right?
Yeah. So they, exactly. They ended up raising something like the equivalent of $1.2 million USD through the internet for such a project. And I came back, and there was a meeting on the streetcar, and I was sitting in this meeting, It was supposed to be about the parking variances for the community of the Crossroads. And no matter how hard the community or the meeting's organizers kept trying to keep it on that subject, it kept coming back full circle to the idea of how they were going to pay for it. And people felt in some cases that it wasn't necessarily fair to create this the Transportation Development District and to tax a relatively small number of people for the funding of the project. And then that night, I went home and watched the then record setter on Kickstarter break. I think it was $1 million at that time for a video game. And, so I said, well, what about crowdfunding for this? Could we try it? And so we put together a couple of slides and got it in front of Mayor Sly James's office. And, they're awesome. They're on top of it, and they want to make the city a better place, and they want to explore all alternatives. So,
as you got this project off the ground, did you study the habits of internet users to the point where you figured internet users might be willing to pony up for civic projects, in some cases, sight unseen? Did you do any due diligence on that front?
I'm sorry, I guess I don't understand the question.
Do you get a sense of internet users and their attitudes toward funding civic projects via the internet?
Yeah, we're a startup, and we're saying we're just going to try it, and that's going to be our means of getting in front of the people, because we looked at early feedback from the initiatives around the streetcar and saw that it's definitely something that some people want to happen and others don't want to happen. But what we hope to become is a mechanism that allows the projects that people really want to happen to be the mechanism that allows them to help those projects to happen.
We have a situation here at the radio that we call crowdsourcing. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing right now is hearing from Courtney Lewis, who has two questions via Facebook. The first is, what is the difference between crowdfunding and the old-fashioned way of seeking donations and support from donors? Which leads to my next question, what's the draw? Someone might say, I already pay taxes to have mm-hmm. my roads paved. Why would I want to give more money online? What's the hook here? What's the difference between being taxed, between physical donations, in between this crowdfunding platform?
That's a really great set of questions. The difference between crowdfunding and the thousands of year old ways of collecting donations is, I think, non-existent, other than a fancy term. So a neologism, and then maybe the idea of getting some perks and some visibility on the internet in return. So ultimately, it's just taking those ideas that have worked for thousands of years and, using the internet to sort of scale them up and to make contributions, not only, people able to get things in return for it, but also, to have a presence on the website and so forth.
Speaking of which, the streetcar initiative, which you mentioned, was the first and most prominent initiative so far, sort of the companion piece to starting up Neighborly. Why did you choose something so ambitious,
right,
and so at once polarizing to the local community?
Well, for exactly those reasons. It's ambitious, and it's a bit of a story, And as a startup, we wondered if it would be better for us to start with, a handful of small and, routine projects that might or might not be noteworthy, or if we might start off with something that's just so ambitious and huge that it is in itself a story. And we think that when we get into, the next phase of this campaign for the streetcar and start getting actual huge contributions towards it, that the fact that we're trying to crowdfund a streetcar in the middle of the country is going to be newsworthy for the city and for the company.
How do you feel about the streetcar's initiative's initial response? The goal was about $10 million. It's at $3,500 now. How do they feel about that?
Well, it's important to know that what's up there now is sort of a prototype phase, and that the city of Kansas City, Missouri, we wanted to get something up there for them for the All-Star game and to get the bugs ironed out before going with a really big campaign. And so what you see are relatively safe perks, so to speak, T-shirts and baseball caps and so forth. The intent very much is to go back and have a second phase that we think we'll be able to raise a significantly larger amount of money for the project.
What have you learned in this phase?
We've ironed out a lot of kinks in the software. So we're doing this software company as a startup, and we're, you know, we have some outside investment, but for the most part, we're bootstrapping it. And what we're realizing is that it is incredibly complex, you know, and that we wanted to make sure first and foremost that it's safe for commerce transactions, and then that it's stable and that it can grow and take on large scale surges of traffic. And then from there, it needs to have a lot more bells and whistles than what we have now. So that's what we're actively working on back at the lab.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. We're into our first half of a full show on the concept of digital crowdfunding, which is essentially giving money to a project you believe in via online or e-commerce solutions. Our guest is Jace Wilson. He's the founder of Neighborly, a new crowdfunding initiative founded right here in KC. The first ambitious project among many is the KC Streetcar Initiative, which received a little lukewarm response given the site, a $10 million goal with $3,500 raised so far. Speaking of which, Kansas City, what project would you be willing to help fund over the internet for your city? Would you log on, say, to fix a pothole on your street? Would you help fund a freeway extension or raise money for a streetcar? 816-235-2888 is the number. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Now, your site is a crowdfunding platform for civic projects. Tell us about that concept. How does the software work? And how do you, as a company, in turn, make your own revenue and profit?
Okay, so the software allows people to explore projects and to learn about the details of various projects. And it allows, to some extent, the project owner, which in this case is usually a city, it's imagined as being a city for Neighborly, to promote the project using tools built into it via social media and so forth. And the software, at its heart, is an e-commerce system that allows people to make contributions and then to assign different conditions to the project so that in some cases, if a certain goal isn't met by a certain date, then the money isn't taken in. Or in other cases, it's just a pure all-out fundraiser.
The same as the Kickstarter model, a limit for drawing the appropriate amount of funding.
Right. The Kickstarter model it has to be conditional. It has to be you have to set a goal and you have to set a date by which you need that goal. And it's an all or none proposition for Kickstarter. For Neighborly, it ends up that we have alternative models that cities can use, including all out fundraisers and different types of conditions for the projects. And then the system collects the money and it collects the information and it keeps everything in a secure place. And then depending on whether or not the project goes through, if it's something that's a matter of a vote that's upcoming, then we hold the money in an escrow account and only issue the money out to the city if and only if the project gets voted up. So
is it up to the particular city or municipality or institution that's trying to get funding to decide which part of the platform it'll use to raise that funding?
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
What are the most common cases? A time limit?
We've received a lot of early interest from projects that don't want the all or none aspect of it, because they feel like every dollar that's raised through the system is another dollar that they're not going to have to send off to the tax base. And it turns out that even more than that, there's, you know, in the case where they're raising money and they're going to borrow some money for a project, it's every dollar raised is a little more than a dollar saved because of the interest cost that you don't incur.
It's better than zero.
It's better than zero. It beats zero. You're absolutely right.
We're talking about crowdfunding today. In this half of the hour, we're talking about civic crowdfunding, raising money for civic projects via online solicitation. Kansas City, what project would you be willing to pony up for over the internet for your city or your neighborhood? Would you log on to fix a pothole or a street lamp or a bus bench or help fund a freeway extension or even raise money for a streetcar? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We got Sherry in the plaza. Welcome to Central Standard.
Hey, yes, I would be very interested if your streetcars were using it's brand new technology. It used to be called cold fusion, and that costs nothing per year to run, like $50, and it's totally clean.
Thank you very. Thank you very much for that comment, Sherry. Now, this brings up an interesting point. Sherry has a condition for funding a certain initiative. She said she would be willing to fund it if it had this or if it had that. Do you work with cities to help tweak their presentation? Do you work with them on the feasibility of a particular project and say, hey, you should pitch it this way. It might work better this way for the Sherrys of the world. Sherry of the Plazas of the world would be compelled to donate.
Definitely. We see part of our role as an entity to not just be a platform, but to also counsel the cities who aren't in the business of making and managing crowdfunding campaigns to help them to understand, you know, what's best to connect with the people that would be contributing. We aren't able to get into, you know, the specifics of, you know, how a project will work because that goes outside of our scope. But we are able to make recommendations to the cities about, you know, if you have, you know, say, for example, a project and you're going to charge fare for the line, then perhaps one of the perks could be pre-buying fare for a year or for a lifetime. So we're able to help them to tailor the campaigns in that way. And we also see the system as a mechanism for the Sherrys of the Plazas of the world to get on and to voice that opinion about how it ought to be on the project page. There's a comment section that allows her to make a comment like that.
How do you tailor a message for city developers or whoever the stakeholders are in a particular project to talk differently to a digital user versus talking to a tax base?
Well, that's a very good
through
question.
Through the media. Of course it is.
Very good question.
No, go ahead.
But it's one we need to figure out. We definitely need to walk a fine line and balance sort of planner speak and techno jargon with everyday speak and something that connects with their various types of audiences.
Because a lot of it is about understanding what the project entails and how it benefits the user.
Absolutely. And that's something that we're going to need to really figure out.
How is having Mayor Sly James, to use a parlance, on board with your project, helping out with Neighborly's growth and getting the word out?
That's the green light that we needed to be a company. You know, Mayor James and his staff, they've really been sort of the way that this has come about, and they've given us this sort of blessing as a company to go forward with it. And, you know, we're doing it, and we're not charging the city a dime to do it, but what ultimately ends up happening is if you don't have a really progressive and active and intelligent group like that in the political stage behind you, you're not going to make it in the civic crowdfunding. So
you mentioned that you're not charging this city a dime.
Up front, yeah.
How do you get your revenue?
What's your
profit model?
There's a platform fee. And for the most part, the platform is just going to keep a percentage of what it retains, of what it brings in. And the thinking is that we're bringing in money that they don't have to pay back through borrowing. So we're taking a percentage of it up front.
Jill in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard. We're talking about crowdfunding for civic projects. Take it away.
The conversation just makes me think of, you know, not only, yes, I would be interested in, as a Johnson County resident, supporting not only the streetcar project because I work downtown and I patronize a lot of businesses downtown and cultural amenities, but it made me think of when they had the vote on the zoo tax. A few months ago, and that Johnson County residents are the legislature and our leaders at the municipal level did not put that on our ballot. We were not able to contribute and vote, and I think that there's a big need for and a desire among Johnson County residents to participate through their tax dollars in cultural amenities and civic amenities like a zoo and the performing arts center and other things like the streetcar that benefits the whole community.
Thank you very much, Jill, for your contribution to the conversation. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. The question on the floor right now is, what project, Kansas City, would you be willing to help fund over the internet through projects such as Neighborly. Would you want to log on and fix a pothole on your street or help fund a freeway extension or give money to the zoo, as our last caller said she would be willing to do? Would you want to raise money for a streetcar or any other type of civic improvement or capital improvement project? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can weigh in on the conversation about whether crowdfunding, digital crowdfunding for civic projects, is indeed the wave of the future and your preferred method of giving. Given the fact, Jace, that there are holes in municipal, federal, and state budgets right now, this seems like a pretty viable idea. There's definitely value with it. Debt is piling up all over the land. Is that part of what made you create this? Did you see a hole?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Okay. Well, as you pointed out, there's dwindling resources at all levels of government, and that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that means cutting projects that might otherwise stimulate and fill in those holes that are being caused in the budgets. And the last caller's point is exactly what we had hoped to accomplish. We had hoped to get it to be something that if you structure it in the right way and you put it there, then in areas where there's one part of town that has a project and its tax base would bear the brunt of that project, that you could open that up and allow others who might also be interested in making it happen in the same metro area or beyond. So what we were hoping to do with a streetcar was to take it from an obligation that was affecting a small number of Kansas Cityans and turn it into an opportunity open to anyone in the world to help out. And the problem with civic debt piling up is top of mind for us, and we're also paying close attention to the new funding bill for federal transportation and transit, especially MAP 21 and its requirement, you know, moving forward, that infrastructure projects that are going to receive any type of federal assistance will be funded in the order in which you know, they're able to raise money locally.
We're on with Jace Wilson. He's the founder of Neighborly, a new crowdfunding initiative founded right here in KC, whose first ambitious project among many is the KC Streetcar Initiative and other civic projects. We're talking about crowdfunding for civic and municipal projects. And we want to know from you, KC, what project would you be willing to help fund over the internet for your city? Would you log on to fix a pothole on your street or get a cat out of your tree or any other civic improvement that needs mending or fixing or funding? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org or on Twitter at KCURCST. That's our Twitter handle. Facebook is also an option. Jenny on Twitter says she'd give money to any environmentally friendly project that creates lasting jobs. And that's a bit of what you're talking about here, Jace, something that appeals to the public, that improves their community, is most mm-hmm. likely to get funded. Are you getting a sense at this early stage about what types of projects people are willing to fund and what types of projects that might be a little too ambitious or out of scope? Talk about that.
You know, we're actually, we have a clear understanding now of what Neighborly is able to help fund and what Neighborly isn't able to help fund. We think that we can excel at any type of transit project that involves cities. We think that it's something that you can use to create an ecosystem of community technology, such as community wireless or computing resources for community centers. We think that it's something that can be used for sports infrastructure, such as municipal ballparks, stadiums, and so forth. Really, ultimately, the thing that we think we can help fund is new infrastructure, new programs and projects that have, you know, tangible services when they come about, that, and also programs that involve technology.
Could this be looked at also, Jace, as a low-cost way for a city to sort of put together an unofficial focus group and get people to vote with their dollars early on to see what the viability of it might be?
Now, that's a tremendous idea, really. We think that there are tools on the internet, like a Mind Mixer, for example, that excel at collecting ideas and helping the best ideas to bubble up. And what we would hope to do is become an extension of that type of program. For example, the KC Momentum initiative, it led to hundreds of ideas, and you know, perhaps the next stage of that is, okay, we talked about the ideas and they bubbled up and people voted on their favorite and everything, and there was that think tank aspect that you mentioned, and now they can sort of quote-unquote put their money where their mouth is and help to fund the ones that they really want.
Jace Wilson, I'd like to get points for my think tank contribution to this conversation.
It's all you.
It's all me. Marianne in Prairie Village, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I would support things in my community that related to the parks, things that I don't think the city can fund anymore to the level that I would like to see. So those are the kinds of things, parks, sports fields for kids, that I would be interested in funding.
Thank you very much, Marianne.
Thank you.
And talking about what people would be interested in funding, John on Twitter says he would use his money, he would pony up his funds to fund public arts projects and a lot of these sort of aesthetic civic projects that are very popular with people as far as beautification of the city. We got Jennifer in Westwood. Jennifer, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you for taking my call. And can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Great, great. And I love the topic today. My question is, you know, we already pay a lot in tax dollars. So could this new concept really help gauge priorities that could be shared, for instance, between the citizens and the municipality? So maybe even matching type grants where if the community can raise X amount of dollars and it's obviously a priority for the community, could then the cities and counties help then support that and not just have all the responsibility be on these extra dollars that are outside the tax base?
This show is a live focus group for
you,
Jace. That's
a
very interesting question and statement that Jennifer from Westwood brings up. What about matching funds?
That's spot on, and that's definitely something that can be done. You know, it's because it's all on there. You'll be able to see who's contributing. Maybe we'll open it up and say to what extent they're contributing, but the city can, you know, offer a, you know, say if they raise X by a certain date, then they'll put in that same amount. That's perfect. And that's to some extent what the federal government is saying they're doing with the MAP 21 stuff. They're saying that they're requiring us, a community, to have matching funds available.
There is a project that did work and has gotten a lot of attention on your site, and that's B-Cycle, the bicycle sharing program that has had moderate success on your site so far, raising almost $500,000. Tell us about that project.
Well, that's B-Cycle. That's from the Bike Walk KC folks and now Bike Share KC, and they get after it. I mean, they've proven beyond any shadow of doubt that Kansas City has an enormous and a very passionate biking community built into it. And the proof's in the pudding, so to speak. That's people want that, and they're looking to expand their program and go beyond where they're at downtown, and it seems like it's going to happen, you know. So,
tell us some more about that program. What does it entail, bike sharing?
The bike sharing program, if you go to BikeShareKC.org, you'll see this is a group in town that they've fought a very long and uphill battle to get a program in town that allows people to basically share bike resources. So people that are downtown, you know, periodically that don't want to have a bike with them at all times but need to get from A to B, and say that distance is 4 or 5 blocks, you know, their program is allowing people to just rent a bike for a period of time and drop it off at another location. And it does kind of dovetail nicely into the idea of a streetcar. When you think about a streetcar starter line that runs north-south, our hope someday is that they can be you know, successful enough with what they're doing that they can have a station at every one of the streetcar stops.
I saw a couple of examples of the bike share program almost on a prototype basis in the crossroads around the 1500 block of Walnut, where I'm at a lot, and I thought that seems like a great idea. And speaking of great ideas, Kansas City, what project would you be willing to help fund over the internet for your city? Would you fund public arts projects, as John on Twitter says he would fund? Would you fund an environmentally friendly project that creates lasting jobs, as Jenny on Twitter says? Would you fund parks or a pothole on your street? Help fund a freeway extension, streetcar, bikes, 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We'd like to find out what you would like to fund from your own pocket over the internet to help improve your neighborhood or city. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. We have a question, again, from Courtney Lewis on Facebook, who says she's contributed to 4 Kickstarter accounts in the last year, and to be honest, she's tapped out. It seems that everyone is trying to use Kickstarter to raise money for an idea. Are you aware of any studies, Courtney Lewis asks on Facebook, that track the saturation or fatigue point in a certain market? That's a pretty good question from her. At what point do people get tired of these types of projects? At what point does the startup lose its shine and novelty as a platform for contributing to these types of projects?
It's spot on. Something we definitely need to research and to understand. To some extent, we need to also begin to differentiate ourselves from Kickstarter and to get into a place where we're allowing people to invest in the places and the civic projects that interest them, but be more of a complement to Kickstarter and not so much something that is, you know, so closely tied to it.
How do you stave off that inevitable fatigue that will come from people that use this platform?
I suppose it's better and better perks, things that incentivize the people, not just the people, but also the companies and institutions to contribute. And where we're going with this is, you know, it'll make much more sense in a couple of months when we're able to come out full with everything that we're going to do for the streetcar. But you know, for example, cities will always have things like naming rights for infrastructure projects. You know, there's names on stadiums, there's names on highways and so forth. And what we're imagining on one aspect of this, and it's, you know, it's preliminary and nothing's in stone yet, but is the ability for people and companies and institutions to go on neighborly in a new phase and bid on things like naming rights for the stops. Now, this is a something I don't know that there's ever a fatigue point, because it seems like no matter how, you know, how many times you hear a new stadium coming online, it has a name from a company. So we're hoping that that's a viable funding source that, you know, helps to push past that fatigue that she nails it. I mean, that's going to happen for if it's just baseball caps and T-shirts, then there's a saturation point. But if we're able to make it something that, you know, for each new project, the perks tie directly to the project and they're worthwhile and people see the value in them, then maybe we're able to stave that off for a while.
So if obviously the range would vary from a T-shirt or some prepaid ride tickets to the Jace Wilson station.
I don't know if I'll be able to afford that.
Right. Yeah. Right. It actually, you know, it's fair to say that range differs.
Right. It's something for everyone, hopefully.
You're listening to Central Standard on KCUR 89.3 FM, streaming live on KCUR.org. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Jace Wilson. He's the founder of Neighborly, a new local digital crowdfunding initiative, a crowdfunding platform, to be precise. Among their first ambitious projects is the KC's bike sharing program and, of course, the controversial streetcar initiative. We're talking about crowdfunding for civic projects. What project would you be willing to fund over the internet to help your city or neighborhood? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're still taking calls on this issue of what will be an hour-long crowdfunding show. Dave in Overland Park, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. Hey, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. I think the bike idea sounds great for something like this, but I think you get into an issue where maybe the government will start not spending our tax dollars wisely or at all if a lot of these take off. I mean, there is a lot of responsibility. We pay state, federal, and city taxes, and, you know, a lot of these issues should be paid with our tax dollars. So I see this could be a problem down the road if this is a little successful. I want federal government, state government, city government to take more responsibility and spend our tax dollars wisely.
Thank you very much, Dave, for contributing to the conversation. He brings up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. How do you retain accountability for government? Like, let's say the streetcar initiative is, in an ideal world, funded to the tune of, say, $100 million, all by private donations, all through your crowdfunding platform, which would probably put you in a George Washington hat and socks made of money, but it would also take a little bit of accountability away from the city, as per Dave's fear and trepidation.
We have to ensure that doesn't happen. And he raises a very fascinating point that we can't make this a substitute for the accountability and the transparent and open spending infrastructure that government already has. So we are fully open and transparent with the information and the data and so forth, but the challenge will be moving forward just maintaining enough tax base that it can be accountable. I think that it has to be understood that nationwide, from the federal down through the states and down to the local governments, that there's shortfalls unfolding left and right. So, you know, it has to remain accountable, but we also have to figure out new ways of helping to supplement the projects that can help to fuel growth.
And speaking of fueling growth, you have a couple of initiatives coming up locally that are in the queue, so to speak. That's the Cloud Commons Project and Wi-Fi, both in the KC metropolitan area. Give us a preview of those two projects that are next in the queue for crowdfunding.
Okay, so we mentioned technology as one of the ways that this could help, and there's been, you know, enormous buzz around Google Fiber coming to KC, and there's so much momentum in our tech communities that we're just, I think we're sitting on the nose of a bottle rocket. There's also some, you know, frustration with where Google Fiber is going first and how to access it and so forth. And there's also a recognition that when you make the bandwidth readily available to neighborhoods, that you can help them to, you know, attract more people, and people will, if you have wireless, you can sit on a sidewalk and work on your laptop and so forth. So the wireless idea is, you know, it's in preliminary stages. There's nothing surefire about it, and it might take a couple of different shapes. But the idea is, you know, what if as a neighborhood in, say, the Crossroads, which probably won't get Google Fiber for a while, what if you could come together and, you know, raise the capital that would be needed for the community to have its own high-speed wireless for throughout the neighborhood?
It's quite an irony that the Crossroads might not get Google Fiber for a while. That's one of the most wired Creative Commons,
right,
creative class neighborhoods in the whole city.
Right.
Catherine in the Plaza, welcome to Central Standard.
Thank you. I have a couple of comments on the idea. Number one, I'm a homeowner who pays what I consider a significant amount of taxes, mm-hmm, mostly going to the school district. I see TIF being used frequently for developers who are not willing to go free market.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I have a problem with the plan, because if my tax dollars were being used wisely, as Dave of Overland Park had mentioned, then we wouldn't have this kind of need. Secondly, I don't hear being addressed the situations for those neighborhoods where the people do not have the funding. They're just barely surviving on food stamps and things like that. Who's going to contribute the money for them to have improvements, mm-hmm, for their neighborhood?
That's a good question that Catherine asked, and she talks about the frustrations with tax increment financing, TIFs is what she referred to, and then also the have-nots. How, mm-hmm, is crowdfunding leveling the playing field or even addressing the have-nots?
So the system neighborly is, hopefully it becomes a bit of a substitute tool for TIF and other similar tax incentive programs that cities have become reliant on to get things done, because this is something that's basically saying, you know, here's a source of money that, you know, for a project that you might not need to repay. So it's basically low-cost capital, which is different from, you know, taking money out of the coffers to fund back into development. And then for the neighborhoods that might not be able to just go and crowdfund their own things, that's a very good question. We're hoping that that same dynamic of, you know, transforming a civic project from an obligation affecting that neighborhood into an opportunity open up to other neighborhoods applies. And you know, we're hoping very quickly to get into a couple of programs that involve helping to fund small-scale tech centers in neighborhoods that might not be able to do them themselves, but, you know, larger companies that aren't necessarily even in Kansas City are able to contribute through the system to get those things done. So,
our guest is Jace Wilson, founder of Neighborly, a new local crowdfunding initiative. Among their first ambitious projects is KC Bike Sharing Program and the controversial Streetcar Initiative. We've been talking about crowdfunding for civic projects. Thank you very much for coming on our show to discuss this today.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a quick break, but our crowdfunding show continues as we bring on KCUR's Laura Spencer to talk about funding for the arts and some of the other more well-funded projects in the Missouri and Kansas areas. Meanwhile, Kansas City, we keep the question going in this crowdfunding hour. What vision or artists would you be willing to fund by giving your money through the internet to make that vision come alive? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. We're talking about funding for arts now. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm your host, Jabalani LaFall. The British rock group Marillion, the Japanese rock group Electric Eelshock, and the Kansas City rock group Beautiful Bodies all have one thing in common other than ripping up the stage. They've all reached out directly to fans through crowdfunding. Increasingly, art funding resources throughout the city, country, and internationally are drying up as content and exhibition production becomes cost prohibitive. Artists have turned to the communities that support them via the internet to bring their projects to fruition, fund tours, and offset the cost of making the music, art, and film many have grown to love. Joining us now is KCUR's arts reporter Laura Spencer to tell us about the trend of crowdfunding in the arts community and about some of the local artisan acts you may know that have raised money in this fashion. You can read Laura's rather comprehensive report on Kickstarter's campaigns on kcur.org. Meanwhile, Kansas City, we keep the question going in this crowdfunding hour. What artistic project, vision, or artist would you be willing to fund or give your money to over the internet? 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. You can also write into us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you.
Now, you've said that more and more stuff lands in your inbox with artists looking to fund something or another. How do you decide which stories you're going to go with and which are just kind of crackpot schemes?
Well, what's interesting about getting emails from Kickstarter is that I actually have not covered anything yet that has been funded by Kickstarter or has a project that's attempted to be funded by Kickstarter. But more and more, I was, you know, artists that I have covered in the past or theater groups or filmmakers, I've noticed that they have these projects that they want to be funded on Kickstarter. So I just kind of got interested in Kickstarter's really terrific about having a statistics page. So I got interested in the number of folks in Kansas and Missouri who did have projects that they tried to fund on Kickstarter.
Are you finding once you look into these new Kickstarter initiatives and the proliferation of Kickstarter initiatives that people are choosing this alternative because arts funding is sort of drying up?
Yeah, in the past, the National Endowment for the Arts and state arts agencies have been a source of funding, and funding has been slowly drying up. There are still funding available for state and national funding. And locally, the Charlotte Street Foundation with Rocket Grants and the Arts Council of Metropolitan Kansas City. So there are funding sources out there, but they have been getting smaller. And so I think that more artists are looking to Kickstarter as a way to find funding in somewhat of an immediate way. They can kind of set the timeline of, you know, we'd like to get funding within a month or within 6 months. They set the timeline. It gives them flexibility. It also allows that personal connection with friends and friends of friends and relatives, and also, you know, $5 or a dollar at a time. So it's really a lot more flexibility than, say, applying for a grant.
Certainly. And for artists, is crowdfunding, you're finding just as much about getting the funding as it is about going directly to your constituents, directly to your audience, and getting your dream off the ground?
What's that?
Is it just as much about getting your dream off the ground as it is for funding?
It seems like that. I mean, I think that, artists are, you could generalize that a lot of artists are dreamers and have these ideas. And I think that oftentimes, Kickstarter can, give an opportunity for folks to put an idea out there and to see if it can be funded. They say that they're, it's 44% success rate, which actually is not bad for, overall success rate.
It is not bad. And in fact, at the time of your very comprehensive report, which, by the way, you can find at kcur.org, at the time of your report recently last month, there were about 700 projects funded in Missouri and 200 in Kansas. Did you find, looking at the stats, any reason that there might be that type of disparity?
You know, I'm not really sure. And they gave me as much information as they could about each of the states. And you could possibly guess that it could be population. Missouri has a larger population than Kansas. Or maybe it's just one of those things that, you know, there are a lot of projects from St. Louis and Kansas City. They're kind of larger population areas. I don't really know why there are more in Missouri than in Kansas.
Looking at your stories for the top three funding projects for both Kansas and Missouri at the time, a common thread seemed to be gaming projects.
Yeah, and that is one category. Kickstarter has had sort of their top five categories, and it's been
across the board.
Across the board, and it's been film, and it's been music, and arts, and gaming is a category that seems to be rising in popularity. But yeah, it was interesting in both Kansas and Missouri that at least in Kansas, two of the top fundraisers were gaming projects. A gaming project in Lawrence that raised $49,324, although the goal was $5,000, and then another gaming project in Wichita, and then also another project was a gaming project that raised $65,000 or almost $65,000 in Missouri. So gaming is becoming a more popular category.
Wasn't what was interesting about the gaming projects is that they basically obliterated their funding goals, you know, $5,000 versus $40,000 versus Kick Me, the movie that we had on, the guest we had on, the director we had on, the star. They were trying to raise about $70,000. They basically almost just eked by.
That's right. And one of the interesting things about Kickstarter is that if you create a project, you create the idea for the project, you create sort of funding categories. Someone can at a certain level get a postcard or get a CD. But if you reach your goal, you don't have to stop fundraising. You can keep fundraising until that end date. So yeah, if the goal is $5,000, but you get $70,000, well, you know, it's up to that person to, you know, choose to spend that money wisely. But it's interesting that there's such a, you know, you can raise as much as you can get. So
the trick is it's all or nothing funding.
Right. That's true. And the folks who try to raise money for their project and get money from people and don't reach their goal, all the money goes back to the people who contributed. And so it's no money for Kickstarter, no money for that project.
You've covered arts and arts funding for a long time. Are you getting a sense as you look into these numbers and as you look into this trend, is there any trick to getting funding, or is it kind of the luck of the draw? Is there any formula to getting funding?
I don't know if there's a trick or not. And I think that, you know, in these days, people have become a lot more savvy about Facebook and Twitter and that sort of reach. And I guess there's a kind of a sweet spot number of 30%. You know, they talk about that as being the tipping point, in using Malcolm Gladwell's terminology.
Right.
For Kickstarter, if you reach 30% funding, it's more often than you'll get to 100%. So I think that artists have become a lot more savvy about networking. And so I think that the Kickstarter has become a great tool for people to reach out to new audiences and then, you know, have your friends share that information with other people.
Just as a personal plug, something very close to home to us here at Central Standard, our music curator Miles Bonney did a Kickstarter program and campaign to press a vinyl record, and that campaign was very successful. So that's an example right there about how local campaigns work, and you can go directly to the people. But there is no formula that has emerged yet.
I don't know that there's a
no
formula,
magic pitch.
But I think that, you know, people, you know, it's, I think different organizations have seen, you know, people like to contribute to something that they, you know, if they feel invested in it, and maybe they can only invest $5, but if you have if you invest a little bit more and you can get, you know, something in return and you can watch this project grow, I think there's that sort of personal connection, I think, that people like about Kickstarter.
Laura, people are very used to hearing your voice on KCUR, and we love to hear your voice on KCUR and the NPR affiliates. A little closer to home, what we've seen at NPR, for instance, is Blank on Blank, a successful crowdfunding result of that program. That campaign resulted in Blank on Blank getting the funding it needed to do increasing production and go out and hire extra staff in a way that's sort of an analog form of crowdfunding, which is what we do here at the station in the form of our pledge drives. Do you think a similar concept can work for non-commercial or public radio, for instance?
I think it could. And anecdotally, I've heard of different public radio stations funding projects. They'll have a series on a certain topic and they'll fund it through Kickstarter. And I think that, you know, in this economy, when a lot of public radio stations around the country have had to cut staff, it is a way to say, oh, we'll be able to do X project if we have this amount of money. So I think that it has been something that has been successful in certain cases. And I don't know, we might consider it here at the station. We haven't really talked about that yet. So,
right. Sarah in Mission, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi, Jablani.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. Go ahead.
I would like to comment that I would love to fund a project by an artist. His name is Angelica Sandoval, and she's doing an installation at the BNIM building in October.
Thank you very much for contributing, Angelica Sandoval. You're nodding your head. You're very familiar with
that. Actually, I just got an email over the weekend about that project. And one of the nice things about Kickstarter is that you can set it up to localize it. If you're, you know, if you're from Chicago or if you're interested in Chicago artists, you can type in Chicago and have that pop up. Or if you want to find specifically Kansas City artists or Kansas artists, you can have that pop up. So if you are interested in finding out, you know, certain artists in your area, you can type in those cities.
Thank you, Sarah, for contributing to the conversation. And Angelica, if you're listening, you have a fan in Sarah and you have a ready-made audience to fund your project. While we have you here, Laura Spencer, tell us what you're working on next. What are you currently working on cooking up in your arts coverage?
Well, I'm finishing up a feature story about Lois Dodd, who she has a retrospective right now at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art. She is in her 80s now and is this incredibly sharp, talented artist, and it's her first museum retrospective of paintings, and so I'm working on that. We also recently got a grant here at the station, and so I'm working on kind of putting together some information about it. We're going to hire a part-time person to work on more arts coverage, but multimedia arts.
And that'll be great. What is the appeal of covering the arts from a multimedia perspective?
Because so much of what we cover from music to the visual arts, it's nice to have that element on our website, either photography or video, so that people can actually see what we're talking about. You know, radio is such a medium of people being able to imagine what we're talking about, but it's nice if you have that kind of extra element. You can come to our website and actually see what we're describing.
Nice to be able to go from the theater of the mind to the actual theater via digital channel.
Yes.
Our guest is KCUR arts reporter Laura Spencer, who's going to be getting some help in the form of a grant. We've been talking about crowdfunding, particularly Kickstarter, through the arts community, and about some of the local artists and acts that you may know that have raised money in this fashion. You can find Laura's comprehensive report on the local Kickstarter campaigns at kcur.org, where you can also find out how to get in touch with some of her other very wonderful comprehensive arts reports, once again at kcur.org. Laura, thank you so much for coming on our program.
Thank you, Jablani.
And tune in tomorrow when we'll be talking about the rich past and current redevelopment plans for Prospect Avenue. Today's show was produced by Tamika Weatherspoon with help from our regular show producer, Andrea Salenzi. Up to Date is next with The Film Critics. I'm Jablani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.